Welcome to The Atypical Leader with Rick Brennan, where we talk about harnessing what makes you unique
and maybe even a little odd,
while at the same time dismantling the notion that you have to be a certain type of person or act a certain way to be an effective leader.
You're definitely a leader, not a follower.
I like the sound of this.
It's time for us atypical leaders to come out of the shadows and learn to be proud and confident in what makes us different.
I'm proud of who I am.
I'm proud of who I am.
Atypical Leader starts now.
So, Judy, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Jeez, I'm good.
I'm a little shaky because we went somewhere that didn't have decaf coffee, so I'm kind of hyped on my coffee.
Oh my god! What are you, fucking 12?
Yeah.
Honest to God, you got a little caffeine high here, and you're acting like you're drunk. Relax, girl. Relax. Take a breath.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. No. So things are good?
Yeah, things are really good.
You went to yoga this morning?
I did.
You went to a coffee with your friend?
Yeah, we went to Jet Fuel.
Cool.
Never been there before.
Cool. Great.
Very great. It was a wonderful place. Yes, it'll be my new hangout.
Oh, good. Good. Yeah. So what are we talking about?
We are talking about who do you ask for advice and how do you know if it's good or bad?
Isn't that the million-dollar question?
Exactly. You know?
It really is, you know, because some people can just spew it.
Mm-hmm.
And you just think, wow, aren't they wonderful? Aren't they smart? And so on and so forth. But are they really answering your question? Is their advice valid?
I don't know.
But isn't it? It's all a mystery, right?
Well, exactly. Because a lot of people, when you ask them for their advice, and this is just from my personal experience, they just want to hear themselves talk. They don't really listen to what I need.
Yeah, there's that side of it, but there's the other side of it. Because, you know, we're going through a business transaction now, and we're going to actually open a pickleball club.
Ooh.
And we've gone and, you know, talked to the best lawyers and best accountants. And there's a tendency to say, yeah, that's what they say, but I think this is a better idea.
All right.
Well, and sometimes when you go ask the best people for advice, shut up and fucking listen.
Oh, definitely.
Do what they tell you.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, you know, I'm not saying who it was, but, you know, they were told that this guy was the best and this guy was the best, and you go and listen to them, and it turns out they're not the best.
Well, that's just a matter of getting references and stuff.
Well,
I mean,
no.
I think that stuff's simple. I mean, if you're going to get a good account and you go and you get references from somebody you already know, who's already worked in that you trust and so on and so forth, that stuff can't be that difficult. I mean, they're technical issues. I mean, you know, if you're going to go get tax advice from a first-year accountant, you might be in trouble.
Right.
If you're going to go get tax advice from someone who's been doing it for 20 years, who's associated with the lawyer that you've always known, who you know three views and have had great success, then you go for it. So you have to set yourself up for success too.
Right. I know one of the hardest things I had when I started was that no lawyer that I knew how to work for entertainment. And sometimes I kind of, you know, thought, is that really the best thing I should do?
But that's good. But there's good common sense.
Yeah.
You got the best lawyer you could for that discipline that you're in. And you both recognize that you didn't have all the answers.
Oh, right.
So it seemed very logical to me. Then maybe not this time. Maybe that time we would have a lot of discussion mutually, come to some sort of agreement.
Yeah.
But, you know, I know through my career, I mean, I've been blessed to have some great mentors.
Yes.
You know, I go back to, you know, Guy Malenfant, who I worked with at Pharmaprix in Montreal. He was just an awesome guy. Took the time to really teach me the basics of running a pharmacy. You know, I had a coach like Leroy, and see, who really, it was more his style of leadership that where I learned.
Right.
You know, just let people, just let's ease up, you know?
Because it resonated with you.
It resonated with
me.
You know, then, you know, good friends along the way that I trusted their advice and I listened to them. And I needed that at that time. But it always, I guess, came down to I needed to trust, respect. No, I need to know you.
Right.
And if I could give one lesson.
Yes, sir.
To everybody out there. Only way you truly know if you can trust that person, if their advice is valid, is by having exposure to somebody over time. Sorry, that's the only way. And even then, it's probably 90%.
You have to know when you have to feel it in your gut, too, for me. You have to be talking to someone and Yeah, I mean, I've talked to all sorts of people for advice. And like when I was opening up my restaurant, you know, I went to the person that was supposed to know about how to put in furniture. And I listened to him and my gut said, yeah, no, that's not for me.
You know, but that's a problem too, though, is that there's a flip side to that coin, is that I'm smarter than you. So my gut is telling me not to listen. That's like saying I went and I get the best of lawyers and the best accountants, just like we talked mm-hmm. about. But my gut tells me I shouldn't listen. Well, turn off your gut because you went on purpose and found the best people to give you the best advice, bloody listen to them. Now, I'm not saying I don't go with my gut all the time.
Right, I know.
But it's very situational. It depends. If you're going for expert advice, take it. Find the right people. Make sure you get the right references, but take their advice. It's more when it comes to people and teams and motivation and enthusiasm and trust and respect. Those are the things that you're right. The gut's got to be a big part
right,
of that.
Right. So I guess you have to, yeah, you're right. You should know them over a period of time so you can see how they react,
well,
how
I
they
think
work.
That's
yeah.
the best situation.
Yeah.
That's if you really are going to go. It's just the reality of life because some people can just spew it.
I know.
Some people make, man, they could make you believe they can walk on water.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Your gut is saying, oh, yeah, aren't they wonderful? Your brain is saying, oh, they're wonderful. And I met them yesterday for the first time. Well, okay. Yeah. Like, come on.
Yeah, you got to go think back. You got to pull back and go,
you
is this?
Pull back
yeah,
and is you this, just you know. Know because it matters. Now, when you're neurodiverse like me, and, you know, I think differently. I see things differently.
Right.
You know, clams yeah. and chili.
Clams and chili, baby.
Clams and chili, baby.
Yeah.
I just see, I react, I think, everything. My whole life is different. Okay?
Right, exactly.
So how do I know that people understand where I'm coming from?
That's the million-dollar question, isn't it? How do you know that? How do you know that they're going to be taking you down the path that you need to be taken down with superpowers, as we call them, but, you know, like to enhance them and not squash them.
That's a tough one again. So how right? do you know that someone understands you? And that goes to, you know, I know that a lot of the advice I've got over the years has come from friends.
Right.
You know, I could list them off there. You know, it's a long list. But I had a trust in them. I knew that they had my back. And,
right.
you know, and there, because me, I had sort of the technical abilities to get jobs done. I
right.
had the organization. I had
right.
those sorts of things.
Right.
Me was more about keeping me inside the post.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Not being too extreme, not being too vocal, not being too outrageous. Because that was easy for me to go down that path.
Right.
And it was so it's almost getting, looking for the right type of advice.
Now, I was going to ask you a question.
Go right ahead.
I know from reading your book and, of course, talking to you on the podcast for the last year, how did you find working with coaches? I know that you got coaches, particularly when you went up the ladder, because
yeah.
that's what McKesson did. How did you find if they fit or not?
Well, two sides to that.
Okay.
One is let's look at coaching from a sports point of view. When I started coaching, mm-hmm. I took all the courses. You know, I'm a level 3 coach, all that sort
okay.
of stuff. And to tell you, you know, that sort of stuff, technical stuff, it's all good. And I think everybody needs it. But that's not really where I learned. I think I learned from the other people that would have been in those classrooms. So the other people who would have been on the ice. Those other people had different perspectives of how to go about things.
Okay.
And trust me, I didn't always accept it readily, but it certainly made me think. It made me over time alter my approach, alter my thinking, alter the way I did things.
Kind of what was your jam?
Didn't know my jam.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It was almost, but here's what the book says. Here's what coaching theory says. Here's how I need to approach it with you. And here I am. I'm clams and chili, baby. I'm all over the place. I see things differently. I understand things differently. And you're going, yeah, but this is the way it works.
It's like gobbledygook to you.
Yeah,
like
it's all yeah. gobbledygook. It's ineffective to me.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and I'd say I had two good executive coaches.
Okay.
One we've talked about who really helped me to get the job I would get as senior vice president.
Okay.
Understanding how the process works, making me listen to him, making me understand that, Rick, this is the way you need to approach this. This is how your expectations need to be. And his advice was awesome.
Okay.
Okay. Then I had a number of other coaches, mm-hmm. which were, like I said, just so ineffective with me. So I had gone, you know, I had a coach and I said, this isn't working. So I went to HR, who are responsible for this. And I said,
right.
I need a coach for Rick. Mm-hmm. Well, Rick, it's all about the company and we want to develop your leadership skills. It's not about Rick. Mm-hmm. Well, no, I think you don't understand because – I, Rick, as a representative of your culture, it's a bunch of Ricks that make up this company.
Exactly.
It's got to be about us.
Right.
I need someone who can help Rick be the best leader, Rick to be the most effective person. And we had a bit of an argument. Finally, they caved and they found a guy, Carlos,
right,
who was really good for Rick. Carlos was a neurodiversity expert.
Ah, okay? Of course.
He'd
yes.
written books. He continues to write books mm-hmm. and speak on this sort of stuff. And he helped me to understand Rick much better and how Rick was responding to things and why Rick was responding to things. He helped me understand that, Rick, I know you're you, and you look at everybody else with saying, well, he's an idiot and he's an asshole. But you got to understand that people see the world different than you.
Right.
That some people are analytical.
Mm-hmm.
Need every little detail and everything. You see that, it's wasting time. There are people that are the movie stars type. They want to get in front of that mic. They want to make all the speeches. They want to have the limelight. And you'll work with each one of them probably different. You're
right.
going to clap for the showboat who's
right.
up there taking
yeah.
You're going to try to work with the analytical person and give them the data they want and so on and so forth. And that's how you're going to be effective. So we kept, looking at the world that way and how Rick could be Rick, but still conform enough to be of more effect in
right.
my environment.
Because right.
my environment, tell you, did it ever change when I went to the executive group?
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
Just a
whole different level.
I wouldn't say level. It's a different level, but a different,
mm-hmm.
everyone in there, the egos that would just burst through rooms,
right. Yeah.
And all that sort of stuff, so. Live and learn, and I did.
Yeah, yeah. And you found the right person to take you through that journey without trying to change Rick.
Well, he
modified you. He showed you the right
me.
Way.
He
yeah.
enhanced me,
yeah.
And
yeah.
it was very, very good for Rick. There's no doubt about it. Yeah.
Okay,
so,
good.
Super.
So this is my next question. So you're doing some coaching now.
Yes, we're going to start. And because we,
What?
I don't know that it was really my intention in the beginning of all of this. And, I kind of playing it one day at a time, one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And, but man, we've had so many comments, so many people. I didn't understand that so many people have my type of issues.
Exactly. Yeah.
That, Judy, everyone we talk, oh, yeah, I have dyslexia. Oh, yeah, I have ADHD. Oh, my nephew, my son.
It's amazing.
It's an endless list.
It is, yeah.
It's an endless list. And almost like, there are a small percentage, I think, that have mastered what they do, like
mm-hmm.
I had.
Right.
But there's a very large population that are still trying to figure that out.
Right.
How do I be me, still conform enough to get through the system, but how do I draw out my superpowers?
Right. And sorry, go
no,
ahead.
Go, no, you go
well,
ahead.
I was just thinking that, there's probably a lot of people, like, for instance, on teams that want to move up that next level, right, to be a leader. So they're on a team. They want to go to be a leader. So being neurodiverse would be talking to you. It's like real life. It's you've done it. You've been there. You worked on it.
Well, for sure. I worked up the ladder. Jesus, I went from sweeping floors to filling shelves to running stores to running many stores to running regions to running a country.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and there's no doubt that, and it's step by step. First, I think the thing is, and we talk about it a lot, is self-awareness.
Yeah.
And that doesn't come easy because although we all know we want to be self-aware, we're still fighting the demons. I don't know if demons is the right word, but we're fighting all those personality characteristics that don't allow us to really do that. We're ADHD, we're all over the place.
Right.
I have no time for that. I'm dyslexic. I don't understand, so I can't be smart. I have all these things that are going at you, and we get focused on that kind of because other people make us focus
mm-hmm.
on that. People
yeah.
point that out. Oh, you wrote that wrong. Oh,
right.
You said clams and chili.
Yeah.
I hope that we're going to have to make sure the clams and chili episode is out before this one
yeah.
because no one's going to understand what the hell I'm saying.
But it's really funny.
Even at, as I was going through the system, so I'm adapting, I'm learning, and I would learn quickly that I was organized, I was very time efficient, that sort of stuff. So I focused on those sorts, and it was those sorts of things at the beginning. So I got no team, it's me. And right. as I would go from that and I would get some credibility, then I'd go to managing a store. Now I got a team, you know. And listen, that wasn't easy at first. I read that 1 minute manager over and over again and started to implement those things. And I was rough and gruff and I was all those sorts of things. And then slowly I would start to see, you know, this works better than that.
You're right. Of course.
So I'm starting to get a little bit of self-awareness and I'm kind of lazy. You know, I want to take the easy road.
Okay.
Why would I want to take the hard road? I want things to be efficient so I can go home early. I power my team so I can get to the bar. Seriously.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Exactly. You
know, boom, the store is successful. The company comes a call. Well, we want you to manage a bunch of stores. So it's the same process. Now I got a bigger team.
Right.
But now I'm kind of moving to more of a consultant thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't. Directly, these people in these stores don't report to a consultant.
Right.
Now I got to take a different approach. And I try it my way. Well, that didn't work. So I say, okay. I start saying, what do you want from me? I start to ego out of the conversation and say, I'm here to help you. How can I help you? And I go, right. Well, that's working pretty well.
So you learned by just being true to yourself. And because of your neurological conditions, you would do them certain ways, but you were smart enough, I guess, or to say, oh, that didn't work. I got to back up and come over it this way.
Well, no, but yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But people are very clear. Like, fuck off, get out of my store.
No, that wouldn't work.
My job is to go to the store, so I better figure it out. So that's what I did. And I figured it out and I tried, but the success, once I got past that and could have a conversation, my other skills that I learned early, organization, time management, delegation, all those sorts of things really carried me through because I could bring and now I could structure this store, bring my skills to the party.
Okay.
Listen, I've made a lot of millionaires over the years.
Oh.
There's just no doubt about
where
it.
Where was I?
Well, where were you? But, you know, guys that are well-intended, enthusiastic, committed to their business, but kind of floundering. Structure, organization, delegation, motivation, art to grow.
Yeah.
Same process over and over again. Now, the people became more difficult that I was dealing with. Because as you go up the ladder, ego, I'm the smartest, I'm the best, everyone thinks that. And it came harder to deal with, especially bosses at times who think they knew it all.
Right.
Always kind of riding that edge, you know, where I'm conforming enough not to get fired, but not conforming that I become ineffective. What's the point of that?
When you were learning that and doing that, did you have any coaching or did you just have the support of your tribe behind around
you? I was going to say I didn't have coaching, but I did. But it was my tribe.
Right. It was your tribe.
My tribe that we had was strong enough relationships that they'd say, yeah, I don't think so, Rick.
Right.
But they saw the talent. They saw the results.
Okay.
They knew that Rick could do this, but let's help Rick draw it in a little bit.
Okay.
So the tribe was critical.
Right.
So if you're sitting by yourself in an office and you don't have that tribe, you're probably never going to be as effective as you could be because you're just you helping you. Imagine when you have 10 people helping you that you can trust at any level.
Yeah.
For sure. On every level, I had that tribe. And I like to get out and about and kind of pretty personable, that sort of, you know, and, you know, I could do that. And I had a lot of people that are on the other side of that, too, that, oh, my God, fucking Brennan. Jesus Christ.
God, here he comes, Hyde.
at times, you know.
Yeah.
But because I was relentlessly dedicated to my teams. And that fed into stronger teams and stronger tribes. And, you know, and that's how I found success. And that's the thing that I think as you venture out in this coaching venture, it's going to be those type of skills. It's not textbook stuff. It's I've been there. I've lived that. I've had to turn all those so-called limitations into skills or find out what the skills were and execute on those.
Right.
Trying to... What I always say is neutralize my weaknesses so they don't hold me back. Like they can't be the killers.
Right.
But it's all about accenting my positives.
Right.
So I didn't try to be the great analytical person or the great speaker. And I didn't form his team. It just kind of happened because of the way I operated and the tribe I had and the support I gave to people. And I think that anyone can do that. I don't care what shape, size you have. You got to like people.
You have to find a some kind of social aspect of it.
You don't have to be partying.
No, but you have to have some social skills. You have to be able to go in and talk to people, like you said, and enjoy it. Like it can't be all.
But let's just clarify that. Don't think you need to. That saying like that quiet boring boss can't be a great leader. I don't agree with that. I think that they can be great leaders too. They're going to do it very differently.
Right.
Now, in a one-on-one situation, they've got to, they'll probably bare their soul and those type of things because they love and they trust and those types. So I think that bosses don't look like, we get snowed with, here's what a leader looks like. Oh, they could talk, they look good, and they're all that sort of stuff. Yeah,
that's not really what I meant when I was saying that. I was just saying that you have to, like you found what you were good with, and you always stress people, people, people. Be good with people. Find people that can do what you couldn't do. And part of that was because you were able to reach out to them and talk to them and create that loyalty, to create tribe.
And fight with them.
Yeah, and fight with them. So that's right.
No. Because it's great to, you know, because it gives this impression like it's a little social club, you know?
Oh, yeah. Like, I can't imagine that.
Fuck
no.
That.
Yeah.
This is what we're doing. Here's how we're doing it. Let's get at her. The trust and the everything was behind that. That's okay. That's okay. And they could say, yeah, well, you shut up.
Yeah. You know? You just have to be able to, you can be quiet, but you have to find your own way to be able to speak to your tribe and build a tribe.
Right.
However that is.
Right. But you, and execute on your skills.
Right. Exactly.
And you've got to figure out what those skills are. And they'll all be different to some degree.
Right. And do you think that by, like, for instance, if, you know, someone's going for, just starting out and they've kind of worked their way up mid-level and they're thinking, oh, I'd really like to run a team. Do you think that if they could find a coach that could help them find those things in them, would it have been more beneficial to you in any way to have a coach that...
Okay, let me answer your question.
Yeah.
The question is, if you're mid-management or you want to build on team skills and that, can a coach help you? Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially if you're atypical, because you're going to probably have to do it a little differently than the HR manual tells you how to do it. A little different than the poster on the wall. And that's got to be okay, and you got to be very comfortable with that. Now, there's a little tough love probably in there.
It's got to be. Got to be.
I mean, we got to talk honestly.
Yeah.
We've got to, look at what the positive, understand yourself, understand what you want to be and why you want to get there.
Exactly.
Understand the skills that you exhibit and don't exhibit. The stuff that you're hiding. What are you hiding because you don't feel comfortable because you feel that those, if everybody knew that I was dyslexic or I see mm-hmm. clams and chili, mm-hmm. that's not going to work for me. Well, yeah, there's got to be methods that we can approach and where you can and accent your positives,
right?
Minimize your weakness, still be you, still conform, still, and I say conform very, mean? I don't mean really conform, but enough to learn and evolve so you can maximize your skill. And it's a step-by-step process. There are no magic bullets to this.
No,
My skills, they started early, but they've certainly never stopped growing, never stopped learning, never start being a better leader. And a lot to do with the people around because they pushed me to be a better leader because I was listening.
But if you
they didn't think I was listening.
Right, but if you don't have that kind of tribe, if you don't...
Oh, that's garbage. You know? Go find it.
Go find it?
That's a little tough. I mean, come on. Well, yeah, if you're telling me you work in a place and you don't have a tribe, well, you don't get out of your office? You don't go talk to people?
Well, that's true,
I mean, come on.
But if you don't do that, then obviously you don't want to be a leader.
Well, no, or you're shy, but that's part of the coaching process.
Right.
Okay, if you are that and you want to be, well, let's talk about
it.
Get the fuck out of the office.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, it doesn't mean you got to be running around with bubbles and kisses. I'm just saying, but there are steps in the process. If you want to be something, then there's certain things required. So anyways, that's the thing.
Okay.
That was a good conversation.
That was.
How are you? You're coming down off the caffeine high. Oh, my God. It used to be alcohol and drugs. Now, I'm on caffeine. Jesus Christ, hold me back. Christ.
Well, no one offered me a drink, so I had to drink coffee.
I'm afraid to. You'd explode.
Well, that was a good one.
Okay.
I enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad you did. It was a good conversation. Yeah. And hopefully in the future, we'll be able to help people reach their potential.
Right.
To maximize all that quirkiness.
Right. And I would just want to remind our listeners, don't be afraid to go to the website and ask us questions. We're here. We want to listen to you. And if we get feedback from you, we can help you more.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
That's it. Ciao for now.
Ciao, baby.
Thanks for joining us today and listening to another episode of The Atypical Leader. If you haven't already done so, like, share, and follow me on Facebook LinkedIn, Instagram, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts. By liking and sharing, you will help other atypicals find all of us, so we can all start to leverage the stories, strategies, and strengths of what make us all unique. Keep listening and remember, take charge and push away those self-doubts. Leverage what we're talking about. Be confident in who you are and proud of what makes you unique. So join me, Rick Brennan, and my co-host Judy Sims on the next episode of The Atypical Leader. And don't forget to get your copy of the book, The Atypical Leader, Harnessing the Power of Neurodiversity on Amazon. To learn more about us, leadership, and neurodiversity, please go to our website, atypicalleader.com.
Thanks for listening. Let's do it again next week.